Hey guys, we have been gone for a little bit, and I hope you haven't been looking for some new stuff because we didn't post anything, but we are changing our mindset and coming back, and we are looking forward to having podcasts for you guys all the time, every week, and really pushing ourselves. So we are happy to be here and happy to have you guys listening to our platform on here and what we have to say about the new lessons coming out. So yeah.
I feel like we said something similar our last episode, but we actually mean it this time. We promise. Well, let's not make any promises.
Well, we are going to be together more often now, and so it's more or less, are we, you know, being consistent or not? And we really are gonna push ourselves to be consistent and to have these up for you guys, because it not only helps you guys, but it helps Starry and I a lot to be able to follow up with the gospel and continue to learn and grow.
Definitely. All right, so it is March 28th, so we are in Doctrine and Covenants section 29 today. I'm gonna go ahead and just read the little thing that it has at the top here. So Jesus Christ will gather his people. One of the purposes of studying the scriptures is to learn doctrine or gospel truths that are essential for our salvation. As you study Doctrine and Covenants 29 this week, look for doctrinal insights that are meaningful to you. So just jumping right in. Heavenly Father prepared the perfect plan for our exaltation. So Doctrine and Covenants 29, what we're going to be reading in today, teaches many truths about God's plan for his children. So as we read, we want to look for these truths and learn about each of the following parts of the plan. So first we're going to be talking about the premortal life. So let's go ahead and go to verses 36 and 37. Do you mind reading that?
And it came to pass that Adam being tempted of the devil, for behold, the devil was before Adam, and he rebelled against me, saying, give me thine honor, which is my power, and also a third part of the host of heaven. Turned he away from me because of their agency. And they were thrust down, and thus came the devil and his angels.
Okay, so, well, first off, do you have anything, any input with that?
Yeah, that's pretty intense. Like, it's just saying that the devil was on the earth before Adam came down, and it kind of tells you that Adam, when the devil came down, he came down with one third of the host of heaven, and, like, they were, you know, pushed out of heaven, basically.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever actually read that those verses before. I've never, like, actually read a verse where it's like, the devil was before Adam.
Yeah.
That's very interesting to read. Okay, so now we're moving on to the creation, which is verses 31 through 33, which I'll go ahead and start that. Well, I'll just read all of it. For by the power of my spirit created I them, yea, all things both spiritual and temporal. First spiritual, secondly temporal, which is the beginning of my work, and again, first temporal, and secondly spiritual, which is the last of my work. Speaking unto you that you may naturally understand, but unto myself my works have no end, neither beginning, but it is given unto you that ye may understand, because ye have asked it of me and are agreed. Well, it emphasizes that it is first spiritual and secondly temporal. I feel like I heard that so much growing up, like through the youth in church, just hearing that. I don't know, I feel like as a kid I was just like, okay, whatever. But you know, I think there's some importance behind that being emphasized like three times in those verses. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's crazy to think about that in life your motto should really be after that, where it's first comes spiritual and then temporal. And so whatever you're going through now in life, just remember that it's not the end, and that things that are spiritual comes first before things that are temporal. And so if you are struggling with maybe a job or career or figuring out your next moves, just know that Heavenly Father, you know, set things up to be spiritual before temporal. And also, it says in verse 33 that, like, his work has no end. So there is no beginning and there is no end, which is fascinating to me because it's just like, wow, it just blows my mind, you know?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think that whole idea that, like, there, this isn't it, you know, like, us on Earth and, like, the problems we have, that helps me a lot get through difficult things. Everything, honestly. Like, I just have to remind myself, like, well, what's the end goal here? And that's to live with him again. So I think that's, that helps me a lot when I'm being, like, stubborn. With things.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have the belief that, you know, you live one life and then you die. Mm-hmm. And that's the end, or you just, you know, go to heaven and that's the end there, you know, you just kind of live that peaceful life forever. But, you know, just knowing that there is no end, you just, it just continues to work out, you know, you keep growing, you keep getting better and better. Mm-hmm. It's just a great mindset that, you know, I've been able to gain as being a member of the church.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, next is the fall of Adam and Eve, verses 40 and 41.
Okay, I got that. Wherefore, it came to pass that the devil tempted Adam, and he partook of the forbidden fruit, and transgressed the commandment, wherein he became subject to the will of the devil, because he yielded unto temptation. Wherefore, I, the Lord God, caused that he should be cast out from the Garden of Eden, from my presence, because of his transgression, wherein he became spiritually dead, which is the first death, even that same death which is the last death, which is spiritual, which shall be pronounced upon the wicked when I shall say, depart ye cursed.
So we all know that this was a very important moment, you know, like that had to happen, because from there, that's where we learn good from evil. And like, that just led to us being able to repent, you know, the mistakes that we make and the decisions that we make that aren't the greatest. So that's like a very important thing that happened, and we talk about that all the time in the church. I'm so nervous talking about this because I'm like, I'm no expert.
Yeah.
but
I think when you look at it, it's just like, this verse says a lot, because Adam was kicked out of the garden because he had, quote unquote, transgressed. But it was designed that way so that man would fall, so that we can have the rest of everyone that's living with God come down to the earth and be able to experience it for ourselves and be able to have the atonement and be able to grow and learn. Otherwise, we would have stayed, you know, without a body and stayed with God, but not able to progress forward. Whereas now that we're on the earth, we can come down, go through the learning process, and, you know, use the atonement and understand that and grow from it. But it's very straightforward here that Heavenly Father is like, all right, well, he transgressed, so he had to be kicked out. And that's the same as, you know, with us now. Like, when we transgress or when we do things that aren't appropriate, we lose the spirit. So we, in a sense, are kicked out of that, you know, enclosed, amazing place until we work towards getting it back. And so, you know, that's a beautiful example of how Heavenly Father reacts to us doing things that are wrong.
Definitely. You said it way better than me. I was very much struggling. That's what I meant, though. Okay, next is mortal life. So the first verse I'm going to read is verse 39, and then we're going to jump over to 42 through 45. And it must needs be that the devil should tempt the children of men, or they could not be agents unto themselves. For if they never should have bitter, they could not know the sweet. Which is kind of what I was trying to say before. You know, like, you don't know good if you don't know evil. Okay, now I'm going to jump over to 42 through 45. But behold, I say unto you that I, the Lord God, gave unto Adam and unto his seed that they should not die as to the temporal death until I, the Lord God, should send forth angels to declare unto them repentance and redemption through faith on the name of mine only begotten Son. And thus did I, the Lord God, appoint unto man the days of his probation, that by his natural death he might be raised in immortality unto eternal life, even as many as would believe. And they that believe not unto eternal damnation, for they cannot be redeemed from their spiritual fall, because they repent not. For they love darkness rather than light, and their deeds are evil, and they receive their wages of whom they list to obey. So that's a lot. The first thing that I got from that is, you know, we are meant to make mistakes. Like, that is just, that's going to happen. We're human, and we are by no means perfect. And that's part of our mortal life here, is we are learning and we're growing and we are working every day to, you know, hopefully live with Heavenly Father again. And we're going to be tempted by Satan. We are, you know, multiple times throughout our life, we are going to give in to those temptations. And like Angel said, the spirit will be gone when we do that. But, you know, we go through all of this. Like, we know the bitter because we know the sweet, and vice versa. And so we know when we've done wrong. We know when we need to repent. But there are some people out there that do choose darkness, and they love that darkness instead. And, you know, we see that in the world. We see that on the news, like, every single day.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just like the scriptures are saying, that, you know, the people that do repent and do choose to progress forward will be shown after their death. And the people that choose to be stubborn and stay with what they, you know, have, because God knows ultimately if we're sincere or not. That's our washer.
Our dryer. We're just going to keep going, though.
It's so loud.
It's a little broken.
Yeah. But ultimately, God knows our hearts. And so we can't go around judging other people. But Heavenly Father knows if we've been trying to draw closer to Him or not. And all He's saying is that if we choose to draw closer to Him, that it will show in our next life.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so now it moves on to the atonement of Jesus Christ. So this is verse 1.
Whoa.
So if we want to go all the way back there.
Okay. Just, that's it? Just verse 1?
And then we'll move on to other ones.
Listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, the great I Am, whose arm of mercy hath atoned for your sins.
Oh, that verse alone is great.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, next is 42 through 43, which, okay. Did I just read that?
I think so. But behold, I say unto you that I, the Lord, gave unto Adam and unto his seed that they should not die as to the temporal death until the Lord God should send forth angels to declare unto them repentance and redemption through faith on the name of mine only begotten Son. 43.
Mm-hmm.
And thus did I, the Lord, appoint unto man the days of his probation, that by his natural death he might be raised in immortality unto eternal life, even as many as would believe.
And then I can go ahead and read 46 through 50.
Okay.
But behold, I say unto you that little children are redeemed from the foundation of the world throughout mine only begotten. Wherefore they cannot sin, for power is not given unto Satan to tempt little children until they begin to become accountable before me. For it is given unto them, even as I will, according to mine own pleasure, that great things may be required at the hand of their fathers. And again I say unto you that whoso having knowledge, have I not commanded to repent? And he that hath no understanding, it remaineth in me to do according as it is written. And now I declare no more unto you at this time. Amen. Mm-hmm. So that is something to, you know, remember that, you know, little kids are not, you know, like if they pass away when you're a little kid, you know, you go live with Heavenly Father because you weren't tempted by Satan.
I actually have two brothers that passed away, one when he was born and then the other one when he was five. And, you know, as I was growing up, it brought me, you know, great peace to know that I will be able to see them again and that they weren't held accountable for the time that they did stay on the earth. So they don't have to go through baptism or any of that, but because it doesn't count against them. And so these verses are so powerful. And also it adds that, like, the atonement of Jesus Christ is what allows us to be able to have God's mercy towards us.
Yeah. I really like where it says, for the power is not given unto Satan to tempt little children. I just think that's cool. Yeah. It's like he literally doesn't have that power to, you know, tempt little children.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some bad kids out there sometimes. Dang. I've met some pretty rude ones, but it's good to know that, you know.
It's just them. It's just them. It's not anything that's tempting them. okay, so next is the resurrection. So this is verse 13 and then verse 26.
13 and 26.
You got it?
Yep.
I knew you were.
For a trump shall sound both long and loud, even as upon the Mount Sinai, and all the earth shall quake, and they shall come forth, yeah, even the dead which died in me, to receive a crown of righteousness, and to be clothed upon, even as I am, to be with me, and what, and that we may be one.
And then 26.
But behold, verily I say unto you, before the earth shall pass away, Michael, mine archangel, shall sound his trump, and then shall all the dead awake, for their graves shall be open, and they shall come forth, yeah, even all.
I will say, thinking about the second coming used to really terrify me as a kid. It still makes me kind of nervous just thinking about, like, I don't know, whenever you read it in the scriptures, this sounds terrifying. Like, I know it's supposed to be amazing, but, like, it's like, and there will be earthquakes and fire and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But ever since I got my patriarchal blessing and it, like, talks about that in there, I have more of, like, a peaceful feeling now when I think about that because I'm like, that's going to be amazing. Like, we're just all clothed in glory and we're coming together and we're going to be saved because we tried our best to stay on the straight and narrow path every day.
Yeah. I think that's, you hit the hammer and the nail. The nail and the hammer. And the hammer and the head. Whatever the saying is, she did that. Because I forgot what I was going to say. But, you know, all it requires from us is that we try our best.
Yeah. And finally, the final judgment, verses 12 through 13. And again, verily, verily, I say unto you, and it hath gone forth in a firm decree by the will of the Father, that mine apostles, the 12 which were with me in my ministry at Jerusalem, shall stand at my right hand at the day of my coming in a pillar of fire, being clothed with robes and righteousness, with crowns upon their heads, in glory even as I am, to judge the whole house of Israel, even as many as have loved me and kept my commandments, and none else. For a trump shall sound both long and loud, even as upon Mount Sinai, and all the earth shall quake, and they shall come forth, yea, even the dead which died in me, to receive a crown of righteousness, and to be clothed upon, even as I am, to be with me, that we may be one. And then 27 through 30, I'll read really quick. And the righteous shall be gathered on my right hand unto their eternal life, and the wicked on my left hand will I be ashamed to own before the Father. Dang, that's powerful. Mm. Wherefore, I will say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And now, behold, I say unto you, never at any time have I declared from mine own mouth that they should return, for where I am, they cannot come, for they have no power. But remember that all my judgments are not given unto men. And as the words have gone forth out of my mouth, even so shall they be fulfilled, that the first shall be last, and that the last shall be first in all things whatsoever I have created by the word of my power, which is the power of my spirit.
Dang. That's solid.
Yeah.
That's crazy that it just says that, like, the wicked, they will just not be wanting. He will just not want them to be by his side.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so that kind of leads me into this next question. So, well, I guess you don't have to answer it or anything, but just thinking about your life, like how it would be if we didn't know about these truths. I feel like, well, I think we can probably just look at a couple of examples of people that don't know about these truths. You know, they haven't been taught these things, and they don't believe that there's something that's after this, and they're kind of just living their life however they want to. You know, I've had some very interesting talks with people that truly believe that once you die, like, that's it. There's nothing else. Which, first off, just makes me really sad, because I don't know how people live a life when they think that once you die, it's just over. That's just really sad to me. But it's also scary, because I feel like that just, like, if I were living a life like that, I would think that I could literally do anything, and like, it just does not matter. Which, that's just, I don't know, that's alarming to me. Yeah.
And I think just, like Sarah's saying, just a lot of people, like, we're grateful that we know, because a lot of people don't really know, and just kind of guess stuff that to put together out there. And they jump around from a lot of different religions, but don't quite get the message that they're looking for. And that's why missionary work is so important in the churches. Because, for instance, for me, like, I never would have known about the gospel if the missionaries didn't go out and teach it, you know. And you just never know who you're going to touch or impact. And not to say that I'm perfect now, but it's really laid out the foundation for the rest of my life, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just testify that, like, if you're on the right track and you're following the commandments and you're trying to get closer to God, and you have a lot of people around you not making you feel the best about doing so, just know that there's comfort that comes from, you know, the persecutions of living a righteous life. And there is peace that it brings into your life. And if you feel like you're maybe struggling with that, and, you know, conforming to what other people around you are saying, just, I urge you to just pray harder and rely more on God than ever before. Because the worst case scenario, you don't want to, if you're doing good, you don't want to get knocked off that track. It's not going to be fun to get back on it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, Jesus Christ will gather his people before his second coming. Jesus Christ speaks of gathering his people as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. So, just visualizing that. Actually, let's go ahead and read verse 2 in section 29.
I got it.
Okay.
Who will gather his people even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, even as many as will hearken to my voice and humble themselves before me and call upon me in mighty prayer.
So, you know, visualizing this, what does this image teach you about the Savior's desire to gather all of us together? I mean, for me, for a very short time, I lived on a farm, so I literally saw hens gathering their chicks. And there, first off, what the first thing I think of is that there are so many of them. And I think about it, you know, I used to think about it as a little kid. I'm like, dang, like, how are all of them fitting, like, under her wings and, like, following? And just thinking about that now, that's kind of what, I don't, probably no one else is thinking about this, but there are a lot of us. And that's another thing that I kind of try to remind myself, is that God knows every single one of us individually, just like a hen knows her every single chick that she has. And he's there to bring us together at the end and to have us live with him again, you know? And I just, I don't know, that's very comforting. I feel like that was kind of also a ramble, so.
No, no, that's, honestly, like, the way you put it is really good. I find an interesting point in here. It says that the ones that call upon me in mighty prayer, I think that it clearly says here that, you know, God will be there for us, but if we really don't want him to be, like, you know, he obviously will be a little more distant. But if we call out to him with mighty prayer, he will come and he will take us under his wings. And so I just thought that was really powerful. And it just taught me a lesson too just now.
Yeah. In our day, gathering to Zion means uniting in stakes at Zion around the world. So how does gathering as saints help us be prepared in all things for the tribulations that will come before the Savior's second coming? So basically, in other words, like, how does, like, us gathering here, you know, in our lives, like, how is that helping us to prepare for when we literally all gather at the end?
Yeah. I think we're a lot more used to it as a church. Like, with our general conference and all that, there's always a gathering. And as we go through hard times, we are looking for the words from the prophets and the apostles to let us know, you know, that there will be peace in our families, in our lives during these hard, uncomfortable times. And that's just been a blessing for me. I'm not gonna lie, I really don't like listening to general conference, because it's just so long and it's a lot. But I'm working on, you know, getting better at that, because it really is an important thing that Heavenly Father is teaching us along our journey, is that there will be a gathering, and, you know, these gatherings that we do are to help us through the times that we're living in, because we literally have a prophet on the earth, and if we don't listen to his teachings, then we're going to be missing out on some really good stuff to help us through our hardships.
Mm-hmm. You know, we really do gather a lot within the Mormon church. Like, we, and it always has food too. That's why I like general conference, because it's just a big gathering and you get to eat a lot of food that weekend. All right. So, all things unto me are spiritual. In what sense are all commandments spiritual? What does knowing that all commandments are spiritual teach you about the purpose of commandments? I'm going to reread that. In what sense are all commandments spiritual? What does knowing that all commandments are spiritual teach you about the purpose of commandments? Honestly, the first thing I think about is just that some commandments, you just have to have faith. Like, you just have to...
Yeah.
You just are following commandments based off of faith. Like, there are some things that I've brought up in the past, like, year and a half of things I've tried to be better with, certain commandments that I wasn't doing so well with following. But it ultimately just came down to, I just need to believe, you know, and just believe that there's a reason that those are commandments. And, you know, actually, the summer that me and Angel were dating, before we got married, I was meeting with the missionaries at my YSA ward, and I did have some questions, and, like, they didn't really have answers for me except for the fact that it's like, well, it's just a commandment. Mm-hmm. And I used to get so irritated by that response. I'm like, well, there has to be a reason. But sometimes it's just commandments, you know, like, it's commanded of us not to do stuff or to try to stay away from certain things. And I think when we think about it, that commandments are spiritual, I think, you know, for me, I just think about how we just kind of have to take it upon ourselves to believe that there's a reason behind them.
Yeah, and I second that, because, you know, it's kind of like having a boss at work. When that boss tells you you need to get something done, like, it's not really up to you to question it a million times. Like, you can, but very quickly your boss will put you in your place and say, hey, you know, you do what I tell you, you need to get done. And sometimes God is stern like that. Like, sometimes he gives us commandments and we don't know why, but he knows why. And he puts them there. And we can, a lot of people fall away from the gospel because they question it a lot. And I'm not saying you shouldn't question. I'm just saying that ultimately it comes down to our testimony of the gospel. And if we have a testimony in the prophets and we have a testimony in Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Ghost, then ultimately anything that they put out, you know, obviously you can pray about it and ask more, but if God said, hey, that's what it is, like, ultimately, like, that's what it is, no matter how much you hate it or want to fight against it. Mm-hmm. But the blessings that I've seen from following those simple commandments, like, you know, don't indulge in alcoholic beverages or, you know, stay away from drugs, they have blessed my life significantly. And I'm just so grateful that I did follow them, because a lot of my friends haven't. And it's just really just impact their lives in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, one commandment is to pay our tithing, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I want to bring this up just because, as you guys know, if you've been following our journey, last year we hit like a pitfall with finances. And paying our tithing was very scary. We could have used that money for other things, you know, like filling up our fridge, but we kept doing it, and we have really seen the blessings from that, like, so much. In fact, this turning point in our lives right now with us, you know, Angel potentially changing his job, we kind of turned it down at first, like, really quickly, because we were like, oh, it's too good to be true. Like, it's just, no, like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. It's one of those things that's like, nope, like, it's just, they're hyping it up, but it's not actually that great. But we have been getting such, we've had a couple of pretty amazing spiritual moments together that we know that this is where we need to go. And we both kind of came to the realization that we're like, this is probably just a blessing. Like, yeah. And it's honestly, it could just be from following the commandments, paying our tithing and not complaining about it. You know, like, truly blessings come when you follow the commandments.
My mom used to say, saying all the time, she's like, I don't know if she got it from the scriptures or what, but she's like, how can I make you master of many when I can't even trust you with the little things? And that's what God, I mean, showing you tithing, paying your tithings is literally God giving you, if you're broken, you don't have much money and you're paying your tithing, you're showing God, hey, you know, you can trust me with whatever, because even though I have to take this little bit amount, I mean, this huge amount out of my payment and giving it to you, like, it's a sacrifice that I am making to show that I trust you and I love you, and this is, you know, I know that this is what's required. And she's like, if you can't give the little, how do you expect him to give you more when it's so hard to just rip the little bit away from you? And so I've kind of kept that. I have a hard time paying tithing, and I still struggle with it, because I pay tithings, but it's always hard to see that money leaving your bank account, especially when you really need it, because, you know, it's just such a hard thing. But as I've been doing it more and more, it gets a little and little bit easier. And to me, like, that is sacrifice, you know, like, back in the days, you had to sacrifice your goat or your chicken and all that, but today, you're sacrificing that money, and it does rip a part of me out, because it's like, dang, this is so hard. But the blessings are just insane.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad that I have gotten to the point where it's not as difficult as it used to be. I don't know. I had a moment when I was actually only 18. I'm surprised it happened that early on. But I learned the importance of paying tithing. And I had someone kind of bashing on our religion at work and like how we pay tithing and like we just, you know, they're just trying to take our money and stuff. And I went off on her, like, I was defending the church like crazy. I was like, heck no, I know that paying tithing is what's right.
That's awesome, dude.
Okay, so this is the last little section before we wrap up. Jesus Christ redeems us from the fall. This revelation opens with the Lord introducing himself as our Redeemer who has atoned for our sins. The revelation goes on to explain some of the reasons we need a Redeemer. So consider how you would use verses 36 through 50 to explain why we need redemption through the Savior Jesus Christ. In many faith traditions, the fall is seen as a tragedy. What do you find in these verses that teaches the positive results of the fall? So you can go ahead and go back and skim through those verses. We've already read through them earlier on when we were talking about the fall, but I like this, how it's having us consider the positive results of the fall. So do you want to chime in first?
Yeah, absolutely. The fall, like we were saying earlier, it led to so many things. Like, yeah, a lot of religions look at it as a very bad thing, because they're like, if Adam never took the partook of the fruit, like, mankind wouldn't be cursed. But in all reality, like, Adam did what he needed to. I'm sure he was guided by the Spirit, but because of him and Adam and Eve, like, it just led to us being able to have the ability to come to the earth, live, and experience our own partaking of different fruits, you know? And some of us make very good choices and some of us make very bad choices, but ultimately, like, the fall leaves it so that, you know, we can be redeemed from the choices that we make in our lives. Like, Adam was able to be redeemed for that choice that he had to make. And same thing with our lives. A lot of us have made very, very bad mistakes in life and feel like maybe we can't come back from them. But to be honest, like, that's what Jesus Christ did. What he did is so that we can make those mistakes and come back and draw closer to God.
Honestly, guys, going based off of, like, you're never too far off the path to come back, sometimes I feel like it's good to stray away, because you learn, you see that darkness, you learn from that, and you realize just how amazing it is to stay on the straight and narrow path. You know, I haven't gone, like, super off the path or anything. I haven't done anything that's, like, terrible.
Yeah, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you have. Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, I went through my rebellious stage and my stubborn stage where I still had a testimony, but I definitely did my own thing. And I'm grateful for that stage in my life, because now, today, I am very strong with my testimony, and I am happy to follow the commandments. Some days, I have a craving for coffee, but I say no. you know, I'm not saying, like, once you come back, like, it's easy to be on the path, but it definitely makes you realize just how grateful you are to, like, have the Spirit with you when you're in scary situations. It helps guide you, and when you're in dark places and you're following the temptations of Satan, you don't have that. You don't have the Spirit helping you through scary things because, well, you're not listening. You're not putting yourself in situations where he can be there for you. So, I mean, like, don't beat yourself up if you right now are, like, off the path. Obviously, you're trying to come back because you're listening to this podcast, but never feel like you're too far off. Seriously, like, you can always come back, and Heavenly Father wants that. That he has the same goal as us. He wants all of us to go live with him again. So I like that the title of this little last section was Jesus Christ Redeems Us from the Fall. I like the word redeems because it was never meant to hurt us. It was to help us to understand the bitter and the sweet, and for us to actually choose to go and live with him again. Because, you know, when you know the truths, but you still choose not to follow them, you're choosing not to go live with them again. Like, he is giving us that free agency, and if we don't want to go live with them again, he can't really do much about it, you know? So I just think that's important to know, is that he was never trying to hurt us with this fall. Like, it was, he was giving us free agency, and he wanted us to know the good from the evil. So any last remarks?
No, I completely agree, and I love just being able to read through these and talk to you guys. I don't know why it's so hard for us to get together and get the podcast up and going.
Yeah.
I definitely think that, this is going to sound cliche, but I definitely think the adversary makes it harder for us to do, to come on and get the setup and set up a podcast and read the scriptures. Two things. One is because, you know, it doesn't really want us to be reading the scriptures. And two, we're sharing it. Definitely don't want us to be sharing it. And so yeah. I'm sure you put stuff in our path so that it's harder to get this done. But we will definitely do our best to make sure that we continue to post on the podcast, not only because of for us, but I mean, not only for you guys, but for us as well, because we learn a lot from these verses and lessons that we study.
Definitely. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you're new here, you don't know who we are, we have a couple platforms that you can find us on. So this is our podcast, Dare to Explore the Gospel, where we post every Sunday. And then we also have a Instagram. It's at The Daring Mormons, which in that bio, you'll find our YouTube account. And we basically just show you guys our lives. We have a couple businesses that we're working on right now, building up, and we travel and we push ourselves both mentally and physically and things in life. And we're also getting into health and fitness, so that's something to look forward to as well. But yeah, we'd love for you guys to join our journey and to, you know, accept the challenges that we do from time to time, do them with us. And yeah, we just really appreciate you guys. So I hope you guys have a great week.
Yeah, love you guys.
See ya.